Agne and Merv. You know, I really wanted something to hide behind, you know, and then when I was reading, this voice kept coming to my head. I had the pleasure to be in Augusta one year, and the topic was something, and I was running around looking for a basic text, right? And I went into the merchandise room and asked the guy, I said, you know, you got a basic text. He said, well, what's up? I said, man, I need to read up on something real quick to go up in here and share on it. And he says, you know, let me tell you something, man. We don't want this. We want you. Right? And I was like, wow. You know, man, because this topic here, man, you know, I want to put that beside because I'm not the addict man who came here and all of a sudden became spiritual. You know, I mean, I'm not that addict man who you won't see out here probably at Dough Rollers arguing with a waitress. I haven't got there, man. I haven't got to the stage yet, man, that you know, if you pour coffee on me by mistake, I would turn around and verbally start arguing with you. I'm not that addict. In my heart, I'm really afraid. I'm really afraid in my heart, man. And when faith is missing, man, let me set this stage real quick. I'm the type of guy, man, that came from this foster home setting, right? I never knew my parents in the beginning, right? I was accustomed to this foster setting, had a mother and a father. We lived in a pretty old house. We went to church every Sunday, and my vocabulary consisted of good morning, good night, yes ma'am, and no sir. Child Protective Service came, took me away from them, connected me with my real family in Southeast D.C. And instead of living, I had to learn how to survive. I no longer had my own bed anymore. It was no longer about watching Leave It to Beaver anymore. It was no more about, like, my favorite Fruit Loops and Frosted Flakes cereal anymore. It was about sharing beds with my brothers. You know, when two of y'all take a bath at the same time because you can't waste it, you know, you can't afford to let the water go. So I was confused out the gate, man. My mother worked at this Miles Long on the Avenue, man. So her job changed and we moved, you know, she changed to the Miles Long on this hip corner in D.C. called 8th and H. And by this Miles Long was this club called the Coco Club. And man, you had cold gangsters in the Coco Club. Cold gangsters. You never with people, man. You getting them little welfare packs. You know what I mean? You getting like powdered eggs and all this stuff. So in my mind, you know, I mean, what something's going wrong here? I just came from some steaks and shit. I just came from my own bed, man. I came from, because me and my brother were together in this process, and I came from crying tonight, man, asking my brother, when are we going back home, man? And it was like my first year anniversary. He said, man, I knew that they wasn't our real parents, but I couldn't tell you. I said, what are you talking about, man? Because I was fucked up ever since then, man. Always people pleased. Because I was afraid, man. I broke the law one time. Went in the courtroom. My sister came in the courtroom. My mother never wanted to see him anymore. I get the fuck out of here. I really never knew she had me. So they sent me down this juvenile place. So I'm taking this bus ride down New York Avenue, and I'm seeing signs like fear. Because I don't know where the fuck I'm going, man. I turn up in this camp, man, and all of a sudden, my morals from my foster parents falsely reappeared. We had Frosted Flakes cereal again. We had pancakes, man. A preacher came to me and said, what is your religion? I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, what is your religion? And all the people that's been there a lot of times, they say, man, tell them you're a Catholic or something. I said, I'm a Catholic. He said, what kind of cigarettes you smoke? I said, I smoke Cools. He gave me a pack of cigarettes. And every time you go to this service on Sundays, you got a choice of your brand of cigarettes or two candy bars. You know, I didn't have to sneak and smoke cigarettes anymore. Every time I heard a footprint, you know, foot in my house, I would put the cigarette out because I was afraid of my brother. So when I'm down at this children's center, they gave me my own bed again. In some type of way, this disease hooked up with me. I said, man, you know what? You don't got to be so smart to figure this shit out. You living better than here, Ben, you living at home. And that's a journey I took. And as I took that journey, man, my disease took it with me. My drug of choice was anything that was out of that time. Yeah, it started with the reefer, the marijuana, you know, the marijuana, the wacky weed, the killy weed, the angel dust, the, you know, all the way down the line, getting the bone, and then it stopped with the crack, right? We're talking about at the end of the road now, Easy, with the crack. That crack was some shit, man. You know, that crack, because I had got to a point of analytic behavior where though, I didn't even give a fuck. Because I could escape reality into some crack, man. I could, you know, go in the truck in my alley. That was my fucking truck. And all that, everybody who's get high stuff is to come in the truck. And we used to get twisted. I had a regular car in my mother's backyard. So I could switch up every now and then, right? No. I'm just setting this stage so I can tell you really how good God is. At the end, man, some guys who caught me who packaged our stuff. They beat me down, man. I was in this coma over this hospital. And I remember when I woke up out of this coma, the get well balloons, the cards, and all that there, and the disease made me focus on some money. I said, who money is that? They said, that's your money. I said, I'll be back. I got to get up out of here. They said, Mr. Jackson, what? I said, man, look, I got to get up out of here. I had to sign this paper saying I was leaving without their authorization. I took the money. Went like two blocks on this strip called 15th Street. I went in the alley behind this crab house, 123. I copped. And 20 minutes later, I was selling demos. Selling demos, man, just coming out of fucking coma. So when I finally get here, why all of a fucking sudden is that, you know, why? I mean, I don't know how I become so smart when I get here. I mean, like 20 years of using just don't disappear in 7 years. It just don't match up. You know, high coming in high behind the word God. I turned spiritual all of a sudden and didn't even take baths when I got here. I went to this treatment program. It's called the Betty Ford Clinic of the East Coast. God, I mean, look, they had big screen TVs in every room. They had a walk-in kitchen, eat all you want. I'm going in there weighing like 75 pounds. It was called a Salvation Army, right? And the job was free, man. The job was free. And they took me in there and they hugged me when I got in the hallway. And I started crying. They took me to the World Convention in Baltimore. And I've been there ever since, man. I've been there ever since, man. And I'm going to tell you something. The process stopped. Feeling stopped returning. My nephew, man, vision's got to coming back. Because he, you know, he got killed out there. And I'm the little guy that bought him his first pair of tennis shoes with my summer job. So I'm coming from the chapel on the New Year's and I stop at the top of the steps. And I just bust out crying because I realized that he ain't coming back anymore. And I miss him, man. And a lot of days I stop to think about them because I feel guilty. That damn, it couldn't have been something I could have done. It was like they was following my footsteps, man. I remember watching the crack man car the day of the funeral, man, because I ain't have enough courage to go up in this motherfucker and watch a casket. But all of a sudden, when I get here, I'm smart as a motherfucker. Oh, man. My second year, man, I started seeing my sister again. That's my sister who bought me my first pool table. The apartment wasn't big at all, but it was big enough for a pool table. You know, she had a little Vega. She used to let me drive with no license. So I missed her, man. And I started seeing her. She started popping up. She had this mental problem. You know, when you get the mental problem, you take the medicine, you get all big, and you get to seeing them everywhere. So I started crying. Feelings start coming back, man. Feeling my fifth year, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. I'm talking about when faith is missing. There's nothing really I can do. Look, there's nothing I can do about it when faith is missing, because I've learned to realize when it's missing is only because he's trying to get me closer to him. I'm not type of addict, man. I'm not the addict who can just hop up here and say, oh, praise him. Now, look. I've learned from messing with him, I'm asking for an experience that I really don't want. I really don't want it, so I might as well leave it alone. Diagnosed with this brain tumor, man. And when I got diagnosed, things that, look, check this out. I go up, the first neurologist, man, head neurologist at Howard University, he look at the MRI, he say, man, look, it's not really nothing we can do but to take the bone out the back of your head, and you will have a dent. What you going to do with the bone? Because I want those to put the bone back in. He said, we can't do nothing with the bone. You just going to have a dent in your head, which would have been grateful, because I would have been alive. But you know, we got this prayer. And this prayer, you know, it talks about the wisdom to know the difference. And even though at that moment I didn't know I was in the rim of that prayer, I knew there was something wrong with that shit. I'm like, look. So I'm crying, right? My other hand say, look, now we gotta get out of here. So then, like, you know, when you're in this fellowship for a while, you get to meet the people. You get to meet the friends, man. Once you broaden your base, you get to meeting people. So we knew people that worked at Johns Hopkins, man. Was supposed to be the best neurologist hospital in the world. So she like, well, get him over here. We got him. If you can get them people to change his HMOs, we got him. See, but I was one of them Social Security addicts. You know, with the Section 8 apartment and that was my apartment, man. Look, I'm coming out of a truck. That was my apartment. I got tired of sleeping on my mother's sofa with 2-3 years clean. You know, it was very painful to sit in a fucking meeting and hear niggas talk about houses and the gifts that this fellowship will give you when I'm on my mother's sofa. Right? So the Section 8 apartment was a gym to me, right? I live in my apartment, man. And I miss it some days, man. Right? And look, I'm a Social Security. Got me a little apartment. Right? Oh, I'm on now. I done went to the World Convention. That's where I met you at, is in St. Louis. First time on a plane clean. I'm at the goddamn St. Louis Cardinals game, man, and seeing my hero, Ozzie, before he resigned, before he retired. I mean, man, I'm doing things that, you know, I never thought I could do. So now, I'm crying because they say they won't take my HMO. I go back to my counselor and say, look, you got to get me over Johns Hopkins. You got to get me over Johns Hopkins. They won't kill me here. She say, slow down, Eric. You looking for the best doctor when you need to find God. She said, people die at Johns Hopkins too. She said, now I don't know who told you whatever, but you got the best insurance in the world, even though it's free. Yeah. She said, now you need to go up GW because if they took care of the president, they could take care of you. And in the middle of all this, I'm talking about there's no faith here. So when I get to this hospital, my neurologist is flown in from Johns Hopkins. He looked at the MRI and said, look, I can take that out. I said, well, what about the bone? He said, what bone? Yeah, he said, what bone? So he took the operation, right? Now I'm getting into like living foul in recovery. Even after experiencing God's grace. She was my friend, man. She was my best friend. Right? She was the only one there, even when my family wasn't doing the pain, the operations and everything. I don't know about you, man, but I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you don't know how I feel when the last person you see before you go under on a major operation is the only person you see when you wake up. So the love just got deeper and deeper, man. So we, you know, I was a friend of a family. Me and her husband was friends. Right? I mean, we beefing now. We ain't really beefing. I mean, we just don't even speak to each other because, you know what I mean? It was fucked up. Right? But it wasn't no stuff that was set up to happen. It wasn't no contemplating stuff. And I told her to go home a lot of times. You got to get out of here. Look, she said, I ain't going nowhere. She got to, look, fuck that. I'm in love with you. Look. That's all it took. Right, because, you know, when faith is missing, a motherfucker do anything to think they're getting closer to God or stop feeling what they really need to feel for the process to take off. Right. So I grew to love a man, and department, because people, you know, the people in the area, they got to throwing slingshots and all this shit. And the apartment became not good enough for her now. Right? Because she just left the house and all that shit. So we don't got no money. And say, fuck this, let's go house hunting. We go house hunting and we go in this house. I went upstairs, I'm crying. She on the back porch crying. We come downstairs to meet, I'm like, this is the house. We don't got no more. This is the house. 2 days later, a phone call came. 5 days later, a bill came. Tell me, your insurance is due. I'm not even in the fucking house. What? I don't own anything. What you mean my insurance due? Well, don't you own the house? I said, no, but somebody, look. And I have to be all spiritual for this process to happen. All I had to do was get out of the way and go with the flow, man. A woman shared last night, she gave me my first basic text, man. And me and her, man, I've been having resentment. She's been having resentment against me for so long. But her topic was like, hurt people hurt people. And she shared some shit, man, that had me crying. She was crying. And I had to go up to her at the meeting and say, can we be friends again? It's hard, man, when you take responsibility for somebody else or when you dislike a motherfucker because somebody else don't like him. The person never done nothing to you, but because your friend don't like him. You know, people pleasing is a defect. So in order for me to hang with you, I got to dislike this motherfucker too. And that's some dangerous shit to do, man. Because I heard either talking about the last meeting. At that meeting, can't nobody be there with you. Oh, you going to be by yourself at that meeting. Yeah. You can be there. So, man, look, I'm trying to strengthen my relationships, make amends, and live. After the operation, man, a week later, my nose started leaking again because the brain, the fluid from the brain never stopped draining. It was a problem. I had to go back in the hospital a week later and do the operation all over again. Yeah, we're talking about when faith is missing. Now, since it's over, I can sit up here and lie like a motherfucker and tell you I was all faithful and all. Man, I was scared as a motherfucker. Do you understand how the disease of addiction has sponsors? Sponsees? And every time, and I thought the mailman was one of them motherfuckers. Every time I go in the mailbox, I'm seeing letters and shit from insurance companies about life insurance and buy a plot at this cemetery. I was scared as a motherfucker, man. Yeah. I was scared as shit, man. And that's some scary shit. And then the best thing I can do is walk in the meeting and fake like I'm spiritual in a motherfucker and get to sharing and forgetting all about this fellowship. Definition of spirituality is doing the right thing for the right reason. But I want to fool a newcomer and let him think he got to, you know, see halos. And I don't even see him my goddamn self. Yeah. Man, whatever you're doing, just please keep coming back. Because that'll change. That'll change, man. I'm just so grateful that he judged us by our heart, man. I'm telling you, before grace, man, you got to experience mercy, man. Got to experience mercy. So I'm realizing this year more than ever that a lot of those friends, they really weren't friends. They were pallbearers. And what they do is they allow you to kill yourself. And once you get any insight of knowing that they're pallbearers, they'll start removing themselves like flies. Yeah, man, it's been a blessing, man. There's something spiritual about the month of April. The Section 8 park became a house. I got a basement. I got all that shit. I'm coming out of a truck. Went to the car dealer. Look, oh, bless his name. Man, I got a motherfucking 2001 Camry. Look, so don't fuck with me, man. If my God ain't good enough for you, he's doing me just right. And every time I keep coming back, man, and do the right thing, he just blesses me more. If it's just waking up the next day. That's a tank addict I was, man. I was one of the addicts that was so grateful to be alive. I ain't want nothing, man. I just wanted to stop you. Have you ever came in here and all you wanted to do was stop using, man? When I first got here, I didn't want none of this shit. I just wanted to stop using, man. They say leave your job title, leave all that shit at the door. Don't go upstairs and supervise. Sit down. And I guarantee you, in 90 days, if your life don't change, we give you all that shit back. My focus was nothing material, man. Just wanted to feel refreshed again. Just want to be happy again, man. Just want to look at the Redskins, man, and finally realize that the nigga was out of bounds.
You got five minutes.
Yeah, so many times I missed so many good games, man. I missed all the good movies. When I got clean, man, I bought all of them. Superfly, the Mac. I wanted to see what really happened. Yeah. Yeah. And that's her thing now, man. Her thing is that, damn, you buy tape all the time. I said, well, you buy clothes all the time. A tape is entertainment for company and shit. This shit is always centered and self-centered. We bring it back to me.
5 minutes.
I had to put on tape, but she ain't in there.
5 minutes, though.
But the bottom line is that I love her, man. Because she's been there. She's been there when my family wasn't there. She was there, man. And no matter what she do, I done got to this base where no matter what she do, it still can't take away with what she have already done. It's a true experience, man, to really know that someone was there. You know, just for the day, you know, we find somebody, man. They really care, man. They really care. And even though the conditions may change later on, it's like, in the meantime, just that moment was worth it all. I'm an addict, man, from the river, east of the river. And D.C., and I'm going to keep coming back.
Thank you for sharing.
All right, y'all.
Thank you for sharing.
For next week, we have Carlton W. from Washington, R. from Washington, D.C.
My name is Carol, and I'm an addict. And when faith is missing, you know, I had faith, you know, as a child. I had faith in my parents. You know, I had faith in God, you know, but I really didn't know who God was until I came into the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and during the, before I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I had faith in Dope Man. Daily, hourly, you know, and at that time, I really didn't know I had a disease. I didn't know I had a problem, you know, because I just thought that was just what I was supposed to do. You know, but I found out afterwards, you know, I also had faith in the criminal justice system. They had faith in me. I ain't like that, you know, but it just happened that way. You know, but I find that during my career, because using drugs and committing crimes was a career for me. I did it 28 years. You know, so it was a career. It was a job daily, you know. And I was in denial about that for a long time. You know, because I didn't know that I really had a problem. I thought I was all right, you know. I mean, everybody else was doing it, you know. But I didn't know that I was going to have to go through to get my blessings. You know, the faith that I had when I went, you know, I was raised and I went to parochial school, so I knew God. I was taught God. You know, I even knew the Mass in Latin, you know. That's the way I was raised, you know. But God and your high power are two different people. And you have to have faith first. You know, the faith that I had, you know, after I finished my career with the criminal justice system and decided, you know, to be a methadonian for a while, I knew I needed something else. You know, treatment. I've been in a lot of treatment programs, you know. I've been using drugs. You started using drugs in the 60s, you know, when Black Men's Development Center, NTA, before it was ADASA. I've been in all kinds of programs besides Psychiatric Institute. I've been in the Treatments Alternatives to Street Crimes in Montgomery County. I've been in Prince George's County. You know, I've taken diskettes in Arlington, Virginia, you know. So, you know, that was a career. You know, but the last time, I even bought methadone from a doctor on 16th Street. You know, they used to sell methadone pills and liquid. You know, but I really didn't want to stop. You know, and during this time of my drug career, you know, I had two children. You know, and also had a husband. And in 1989, when my husband died, I had my oldest son was graduating from high school. My youngest son was graduating from elementary school. I had a drug habit in the house, you know, and I didn't think I was that bad. But I remembered when I took my son to grad school in Cincinnati, Ohio, I was on methadone, and I had to get a trip referral, and I had to find a clinic in Cincinnati and get my methadone, you know, and I really kind of took an inventory at that time, and I decided that I really got to stop this foolishness, you know. I've been using drugs too long. It was more than a habit. It was a way of life, you know, and that's what it really became with me, a way of life, you know, and I decided this way of life is not good. After I came into the program for narcotics, you know, so I had to really rely on that high power. Because remember, I had a career of criminal activity, you know. And I will say the first charge that I got in 1971 was carrying a dangerous weapon and forgery, two felonies. You know, so weapons, I love guns. You know, I used to carry them, so, you know, and you carry them to use them to shoot and hurt people. That's what you carry them for. You don't carry them for show. You carry them to use them. And that's what I did, you know, because we, you know, during this career, you know, I sold drugs, you know, I sold Despotol, Preludin, Dizoxin, everything, insulin syringes, you know, everything that was drug paraphernalia that was sellable, we sold it. You know, I was thinking when Eric said the first time he flew soap, I remember the first time my son went on a plane when he was 4 years old, we were flying to Philly to get BAM. You know, so you involve your children in things and you really don't even know. You know, and today I am really proud to say that that same son is blessing me with a grandchild, probably Monday, because my daughter-in-law is in the hospital today. And he also has a master's in computer science and works for NASA. A drug addict like me did everything I could send that boy to school, you know, selling dope, stealing white people's clothes in them stores, you know, going in. I was, as they say, a professional thief. You know, we had buzzers to take the tags off, so you may go in Ann Taylor's and steal $5,000 worth of clothes. All you had to do was steal 10 suits, 10 $400 suits, you know. And those are the kind of things that I have to make amends to myself about today. You know, I have to, that faith that I have, that he's going to help me all along the way. Because, you know, after you use drugs and you get restored to a little sanity, you know, all these things, you know, as you say, your feelings and everything comes back. All those things you did, they're there. And they constantly remind you, you know. And I'm constantly reminded of the activities that I engaged in because my son was murdered as a direct result of the disease that we all suffer from. Because I was using drugs, selling drugs. And it's learned behavior. He was doing the same thing that he saw, you know. And we influence our children, beknownst to us and sometimes unbeknownst to us, you know. And that's something that I have to live with daily, you know. But I'm okay with that because the faith that I have, my high power, he keeps me at a certain peace with that. You know, and I really have to rely on him because after I said, after my first year in recovery, my son was murdered. I've had a lot of things that have happened. You know, I was illegally ejected from a house I've been living in 28 years. You know, someone called me at work and told me they were putting my stuff outside. You know, I lost my job. You know, and the most traumatic thing that has ever happened to me that I feel, that I categorize, that's next thing closest to death was I was robbed, kidnapped, and sexually assaulted. You know, and I really had to rely on that faith. It couldn't be missing because the God of my understanding had to carry me through all of that and carries me each and every day. You know, and I have to ask him to help me to be humble and not to be angry. See, because things like that make you angry. You know, I'm a dope fiend, so I'm already angry. You know, I'm already angry. Everything pisses me off. You know, You know, you pissed off when you high, and you pissed off when you ain't high. You know, so, you know, that's part of learned behavior, you know, being angry. You know, and I have to rely on my faith and my higher power every day. You know, I have little things, because after you get into the program of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and you're restored to a little semblance of sanity, you know, you get your feelings back, you know, you see something on TV and you start crying, or you get emotional, you know, when things occur that normal people cry about, when we usually are gritting, you know, or trying to shrug it off, or hoping I can, you know, get my hit before this occurs, and all those kind of things. You know, but you have to sit still with yourself, you know. And this morning before I came, you know, I always read the Just for Today. And I was reading a lot of chapters about faith. And you have to really have a talk with God or your higher power every day, you know. And that's how my faith is restored every day. You know, you have to hold on to it. You know, and, you know, the faith that I have is the same faith I had in the beginning with my parents, the same faith I had in the dope man. I get high every day. You know, but I have to apply those same principles into practical things, because the program for Narcotics Anonymous, you know, besides giving you a semblance, a sense of sanity, you know, it gives you part of your mind back. It makes you responsible. See, because recovery is about change, you know, and if I'm still acting the same way I was acting, you know, when I was holding the mirror up trying to find this pulse vein in my neck, you know, that's not good. You know, for me, recovery is about change, and I'm really serious about my recovery. I put more effort in staying clean than I did in getting high. I have to think that way, because if I don't, I'm just right next to a next shot of dope, you know, and that's not good today, because there are consequences. And today, that my head is a little clear, I ain't trying to deal with consequences, because I can't shoot dope today. See, so all the things that happen, I have to rely on my faith and my high power to carry me right on through. You know, does it feel good all the time? No. Don't feel good most of the time, but you have to sit still and reflect that it's going to be all right. And it really isn't going to be all right. You know, I can look at the example just for coming down here. I hadn't really anticipated on coming to the convention. And then I was reminded that I was asked to do this workshop. And it's about responsibility today. When people ask you to do something, you got to do it. You know, so I had to come. And my finances weren't as such. My girlfriend was going to drive my car. Needs a few things, and her car wouldn't start, so I had to drive. So I got here about 1:30 this morning, but I got here because I had that same faith. It wasn't missing. I knew God had me, you know, and that's what I have to do on a daily basis. You know, I have to restore my faith each and every day, sometimes minutes, sometimes hours, daily, you know, to keep me where I really need to be, where God wants me, where He wanted me all the time. And I just didn't have sense enough to know. You know, my faith sometimes falls short, you know, because being an addict, you know, you want to do shit your way, you know. You want to do it your way. Yeah, God, I got this one, you know. And then you realize, and it's consequences when you do it your way, because your feelings, the disease of addiction is all about feelings, feeling good, bad, indifferent. And when you feel bad and you can't do anything about it, you know, to change your mood, and you have to sit with yourself, then you learn, you know, and that's about growth for me. You know, things get on my nerves still today, you know, but I still have to pull from that faith that I have in my high power to carry me through. And it's not so hard, you know. I thought it was difficult, you know, because I, you know, I'm always thinking, you know, I got this, you know. because that was also learned behavior from the streets, you know, because remember I carried a gun all the time, you know, so I got this, you know. And I think about, you know, what was said back at the code, hustling and stuff. You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's true. That's truly true. And I had to put my sword down when my son was murdered. Because that's no good. It don't feel good. Don't feel good most of the time. But God got me clean so I can have faith in him so I can deal with that on a daily basis. You know, there are a lot of things, you know, that happened to me. But now that I'm drug free, I can rough them off. You know, we can shake things off. Yeah, it's going to be all right. But most of the time, you do something else to make you feel good. Today, not having the ability to do something else to make me feel good feels bad. Feels bad. But I also know that I have something that I can do. God, help me. Please help me. Carry me through. Don't make me feel this way, this bad, this long. You know, because it lasts long now. The feelings, you know, because remember, I used drugs for 28 years. You know, I've only been clean 5 years. You know, so the learned behavior with my feelings is still there. You know, it's not going anywhere. And I just have to pray constantly that he allows me just enough strength. I remember on my 4th anniversary, my son gave me a card, and he said the thing that he admires most about me is that I have the endurance to persevere. You know, because I was ready for the funny farm in 1989 when my husband died. You know, and then after I got clean, and then when my son was murdered, you know, them feelings didn't feel good at all. But me being the dope fiend that I am, I did my own investigation. You know, I wanted to find out who killed my boy. You know, and you go in the street and you find out who did it. You know, and then my learned behavior took me to the left. You know, and I thank God that I had the program of Narcotics Anonymous and someone else with me. And someone else with me. They could tell me, Carolyn, that ain't good. That ain't good because there's consequences, you know. And I feel real stupid, you know, down Alderson, drug-free, with a murder baby. You know. You know, and the only reason, and I'm glad that God had somebody with me, and the only reason that I didn't do bodily harm to that young man was because I would not want his mother to have the same feelings that I have on a daily basis. You know. You just can't do that, you know. But see, I didn't get that being a drug addict. I got that from that faith that I have that he's restoring me to a little sanity, you know, that I'm thinking clear, you know, because, you know how my thinking is. I just told you, you know, I'm angry. I was a drug addict. You know, I'm bitter. You know, I'm mad. You know, I was angry when my husband died because that meant I had to do everything all by myself. And that didn't feel good, you know. And that didn't do good a lot of times because that made me even more self-reliant. And when I came to the program Narcotics Anonymous, you know, remember my motto, I got this, you know, and I don't want no help. But the program shows you, besides God's help, he puts people in your life, you know, that also need to help you. You know, that's that same faith that I have. You know, I have faith that he's going to make it all right. You know, and that's what carries me daily. You know, I have a lot of other responsibilities, you know, and I treat it just like it's a job. Recovery is a job for me. And the only way I can enhance my recovery is doing the right thing. And boy, doing the right thing for a drug addict? You know, I mean, doing the right thing, like not parking when it says no parking at any time. You know. You know. you know, being humble when the police stop you, when you know your tags is dead and you don't cuss him out and get the handcuffs put on you, you know. And humility is part of the program of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And we don't come into the program of Narcotics Anonymous being humble. I didn't, you know, because we're self-reliant people. We, you know, remember, I got this. That's my motto. Or the national anthem that we all have. Right. You know, and, you know, you live by that. But today, my faith, God knows, is there. Because I can see a little change in me. You know, other people see changes in you before you do. And then when you realize, dang, I handled that. I ain't get bent out of shape. You know, I ain't get locked up. You know, I was humble. And I can't even believe that myself. That's that my high power working in my life, and I don't even realize it. He got me. So I, you know, when I see those, you know, as they say, evidence, when I see that evidence, then I know this is the right way. You know, because, you know, you got to see evidence. You know, and they scoping, then that's evidence I need to just chill. You know, see, because it ain't nothing happening. You know, and, you know, I just didn't know that how simple all I had to do was conform to a few little simple rules and I would be all right. Had I known that all I had to do is rely on my high power. Also, rely on your high power also is part of the program and puts you into the steps, because the program of Narcotics Anonymous are principles. You know, that's what kind of keeps you together and helps you to learn that you got to change, you know, because, I mean, I knew I was powerless. I knew I was powerless when I had no money, or when the right people didn't come, or when my connection was out, you know, and I had to settle for what I didn't want to. I knew I was powerless then, but when I got back on top, I forgot all about that, you know, because that didn't mean, you know, that's, you know, that didn't mean anything, you know. But today, it's different. I feel different. I act different. And I apply the program of Narcotics Anonymous into my life. You know, and, you know, when I hear people say you have to work the steps, well, I feel you have to live the steps. Most people that are in the program, you know who's really about recovery. You know, like, you know, the same, you know, the same evidence you see, you know, when somebody's nodding, you know who's about recovering and who's not. You know, and today I choose, you know, just like just for today, you know, people who are not using, who have found a new way of life. That's what I'm about today. If you on in the middle, or on the side, or, you know, I'm not there. You know, my principles have to be steadfast the same way. You know, and another thing I want to say, you know, about my faith. Faith in other people, you know, when you first come in, you don't know what to expect and stuff like that. And you have to have faith in a sponsor, somebody to guide you through this program. And most of the time, my experience, you know, people ask you, you know, you ask, you know, will you be my sponsor? And they, well, you got to call me. I don't know. Or if you don't meet their criteria, then they'll cut you off. You know, but I'm glad that my high power is just making me just stay here and do what I need to do. And everything falls into place. You know, I didn't know it was going to be that easy, but it is, you know, because as long as I have my faith, I know God got me. As long as I have it. Now when I lose it, you know, then it's consequences. But it's simple. You know, as they say, this program is a simple program for complicated people. We make things complicated within ourselves. Most of the time, I make things complicated up here. You know, my thinking, man, as they say, we can justify the most outrageous nonsense. You know, yeah, this is all right. You know, this will work. You know, when you know, it ain't nothing happening. You know, but I am truly grateful today that God has really given me this gift of recovery. Because it is a gift, you know. When people say, I earned this. No, I didn't earn it because he didn't have to give it to me because it's a whole lot of people. It's for people, you know, for people who want it because a whole lot of us need it. You know, it's obvious I needed it. If I shot dope 28 years, you know, I needed it a long time ago. You know, but he didn't see fit to change me until now, you know. And each day, my faith is restored. And I have a little bit more sanity. And I see all the things that I did, you know, were not only conducive to society, you know, but to myself, you know. And I think about when they say make amends to yourself, I say, why? But yeah, you better. You better. Because that's how God is restoring my faith in me, telling me, yeah, well, I'm still going to take care of you. No matter what you did, it's still going to be all right. You know, and I'm blessed with that. You know, God knows I need faith all the time. And he gives it to me. You know, that's why I really, the just for today, I really practice that in my life. Because it is just for today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't plan. I have a little note. I have things to do today. I have to write things down. You know, today, because, you know, the mind, as they say, is a terrible thing to waste. And I wasted mine so long, so I got to write things down so I can remember. You know, so I have a list of things to do today. And my things to do today may be a 12 noon meeting. You know, it may be go to the bank. You know, it may be fill out your tax papers. You know, it may be, you know, go see your lawyer, go on an interview. Those are the simple things that I have to write down. And if I accomplish them all, fine. If I don't, they just go on tomorrow. You know, because I can't, you know, because, you know, my thinking will allow me to go to the left all the time. Because that's learned behavior, you know. And it's difficult to change, you know. Just like I said, I used drugs for 28 years. I've only been clean 5. See, so there's no balance. And I'll never balance at all, for real. But I have to rely on my faith that he's going to balance me off. And when I'm balanced, then it's going to work out, you know. And that's all it's about. And it is just for today. When he gives me, you know, the strength, you know, to endure, I'm okay. You know. Am I finished, Kenny? Thanks for letting me share.
I like it. I'd like to thank Carlin and Eric for coming, sharing their experience, growth on When Faith Is Missing. Will someone read just for today? Cool. Will someone use just for today? Okay, hold on. Do anybody want to share, have something to share? We got about 15 minutes left. If you have something to share, you can come on up to the mic.
Hi, my name is Wanda, and I'm everything as far as the addict is concerned. I'm getting ready to come up on my first year clean, and I'm just really getting into what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. I'm do some meetings, you know. I'm like I said, I'm just getting into my recovery. As she said, I used 28 years, everything. So, and I got a whole lot of brain damage, you know. But I'm finding, and I can relate to a lot that I've heard this weekend. This is also my first convention. And behavior, I had to pat myself on the back and give God a lot of thanks for instilling in me, you know, a lot of positive things that I just thought I was incapable of. Yesterday, I found him my food at breakfast before I would have, you know, flipped. But I was proud to say that I sat with myself and I thought about it. That day I was almost finished first and foremost. So, you know, and it was probably a mistake. And I was glad that I could, you know, and I handled it in a different way. And also in dealing with people, you know, as far as being a people pleaser, that's just what I am. But I'm working on that too, and especially holding on to something. I held on to a lot of things this weekend. And I'm proud of me. because of it. And I know I got some faith, and as Eric said, I'm working with that too, you know. But I just got to tell somebody, I am so glad to be here today, to be clean, so that when I go back to my kids this evening, I can tell them share with them my experience, because I got a 19-year-old daughter who's a mom, and I got something to give her, you know what I'm saying, when I get back. And I just want to say thank you all for the hugs and all of that. I'm loving it.
Do you have anybody else want to come up here and share? Come on, son.
Hey, everybody. I'm an addict named Tanya. I just want to say that I'm glad that I made it down here to this convention. And I haven't taken any drugs in 5 months and a week. And thanks to everybody for being here, for yourselves, and for me. And I'll see you all next year. Thanks for letting me share.
Anybody else got something to share?
Good afternoon or morning. Faith. My name is Walter. I'm an addict.
Hey, Walter.
Faith. There's one thing I wanted to do when I was down here this weekend. I was going to see an uncle that I just got back in touch with from my dad's side of the family. And, I was up there to visit him on Thanksgiving because I really wanted to be there. You know, I wanted to be there Thanksgiving Day with my grandfather. And in talking, it kind of came out that I was in recovery. And it turns out he's in recovery too. And then we talked a little bit longer, and we found that, some of this stuff that happened to me also happened to him, different circumstances, but it was there together. And I have faith in my higher power. I have faith in God that that's not a coincidence. And but I was looking forward to seeing him here, and I haven't, but I will call him and probably go visit him sometime soon. But I don't think I'm here by mistake. And having faith, what is it? Faith without works is dead. I don't know. I just wanted to get up here and say something. I'm willing to change. And thanks for letting me share.
Hi, group. My name is Cheryl. I'm a very grateful recovering addict. I've been around for a little while, and
how much time is that?
17 years. Yeah. This is the first convention that I brought my children. I have three girls, and I brought them here with me, and I think they really got a whole lot out of what you all gave me, and you're giving it to them too. They don't have a problem with drugs or alcohol, but growing up being teenagers, you're going to have a lot of problems and information that they can use and make them stronger young women. And I'm so grateful to that, because I didn't have that kind of education, information when I was growing up. I couldn't even express myself to my parents, like I really being honest, telling them how I really felt. That's probably how my drug addiction started, stuffing a lot of feelings and whatnot, and started being a people pleaser. Growing up years ago, you was taught to shut up. You didn't know enough to talk, so you just shut up, and you couldn't express yourself. allow my children to express themselves a lot more than I was able to. And that's not easy a lot of times, you know, to let them express themselves, especially my oldest daughter being 17. She be very honest a lot of times. And I had to learn how to accept someone being honest with me and telling me exactly how they feel. Not going to take up a lot of time, but coming to this convention, this renew my spirit and my love for NA, and it makes me want to be here next year. I'm a pre-registered, and I'll be back next year. Thank you all so much.
Okay. Thank you.
You come on. We got about 5 more minutes.
My name is Falcon. I'm at it.
Hey,
and, it's always good to be anywhere in recovery. You know, faith, right? I mean, to me, right, that can go to a lot of areas because I'm like the sister was saying. I remember when I was copping, I had faith that they didn't run out. I had faith that the dope was good. I had faith that the police wouldn't keep me too long. I had all kind of bad faith. You know what I'm saying? But then as I became to get more in contact with my God and see him work in my life. See, I believe for me that I can only understand what faith is when I go through a situation where I have to call on God to do for me what none of y'all can. This is how I know. Now, why I'm saying that is this. When I'm HIV positive, right, and the doctors were saying at 95 I wasn't going to live. I was weighing 50 pounds. I came to the meeting in a wheelchair weighing 94 pounds. And today I weigh 175 pounds. So it shows you and it shows me that when I rely on him to do for me what I can't do for myself, I'm going to be all right. And the literature says that he can do for us what seems impossible, he can make it possible. But the faith has to come into play where when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I saw some examples first. See, I'm a 54-year-old dope fiend. You know what I'm saying? And why I always say I'm a dope fiend, because I still got that fiendish behavior. The dope is gone, but the fiend is still there. At any given time, if I don't allow spiritual principles to come into my life, the fiend will creep back in. So this is why I always say that, right? Now, when I came here, I saw y'all. And y'all was doing things that I used to do, like eating, dressing, you know what I'm saying, getting haircuts, taking baths. See, it was a little bit of faith. See, I don't believe that this program is so deep that you got to get so complicated with it. Because the basic text, the moment you open up, you see one word first, simplicity. Real simple. You know, because I'm an addict that will go places where nobody else can go in my head. So if I don't come in here and get some instructions and get some guidance, because see, living a lifestyle for so long, you know, and thinking this is where it's supposed to be, it was hard to draft a new idea on a closed mind. You know what I'm saying? So I got to be real careful. I got to be open to information. And sometimes, I'm going to say this, and see, I'm a guy that kind of like say what I got to say, right? See, sometimes even in recovery, I see why today, when I came around years ago, they said, learn to listen and listen to learn. Because, see, everybody going to talk because everybody got lips. But everybody don't have anything to say. You know what I'm saying? That's going to help me through another day. So I'm real selective sometimes on what I hear. You know what I'm saying? And what I take in. See, if I'm listening to some bull jive, then I'm not going to sit there and subject myself to that. Because I don't have to. I can get up. You know what I'm saying? And the same thing, as I get up, I can sit down and listen to some information that's going to help me too. But see, today, because I've been around a little while, and I learned to listen and listen to learn, because I hear some shit sometime, man, that you think that we so spiritual inside here that if God was to come through this wall, we'd make another wall that way, trying to get out. That's how spiritual we done got, you know what I'm saying? And the bottom line is that I ain't got to be like that. I can just be who I am. You know, I'm going to say this real quick and sit down, right? I met Eric like 4 years ago, right? Yeah. And since that time, me and Eric is like real, we all right. We don't call every day. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like we call every day or we in contact. But to go places and find people in your life that loves you and that respects you and that's open for you. See, every time, damn near, y'all give a convention, y'all ask me to come. Yeah. And it's a blessing. Who asked the dope feel like me to come anywhere? I shot dope and stole your dope and tried to help you find it. You know what I'm saying? So who asked me to come anywhere? You know, so it's a blessing to do this. It's a blessing to come anywhere inside the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and be asked to share my experience, truth, and hope. You know, and listen, when I come, it's like I'll be spending my own money. like many other people do. I spend my own money. I pay for the hotel. Eric gets me sometimes because I won't pay for registration. Because sometimes, I mean, I'm a dope fiend. I ain't going to lie like I'm holy. I'll try some shit. And Eric will come get my ass. But if I come, you going to pay this motherfucking time. He tell me straight up and down because I'll be trying to pay. Because I'll be paying for the hotel. I come from Brooklyn, New York. That means I got to travel. I got to pay for the room. That's hundreds of dollars we're talking about. And I'm on SSI. I'm on a fixed income. That means it's fixed. It don't change. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no money like that. I ain't doing no illegal shit. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. Let me see. Thank you.